Okay, everybody, deep breaths. Come on, Kathleen. Kathleen's here, Kathleen Hawkins. Hello, Kathleen.
Hi.
Emma Tracy's here, Emma. Hello, deep breathing in Edinburgh.
Hi.
And with us is our guest, Tiffany Joyner. Hello, Tiffany.
Hello.
You're here to help us relax a little bit on this very chaotic day. Lots of big things happening.
Mm-hmm.
Tiffany is, what would you call yourself, a yoga expert? You're Yogaplegic on Instagram.
Yes.
In case anybody follows you. And you were inspired to get into yoga after a trip to India in 2006.
That's correct.
And crucially for us, for this particular podcast, you're disabled as well. You had an accident soon after you decided to get into yoga. Do you want to tell us your story?
Sure. In 2006, I went traveling and went to India and did a yoga teacher training course when I was there. And I'd never really done yoga before. I had been involved in fitness. I had been a fitness instructor, personal trainer. So it just seemed like a logical step to add that to my resume, I guess, what have you. So I went to India. I did the course. And right after the course, I went to Dubai and got a job teaching in a yoga studio there. And I was working full-time, teaching yoga for a full year. And then I sold out and went corporate after that, but maintained my practice. And then in December 2008, so about 2 years after I'd moved to Dubai, I somehow in the middle of the night fell off my balcony. We don't know exactly how it happened or the story. It's kind of a strange thing. I went to bed for the evening and woke up in the hospital the next morning. So I have no idea, no recollection of what happened. But essentially woke up in the hospital and I was paralyzed from the waist down. So that was a monumental experience for me, I guess you could say.
Gosh, that's a shocker.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that quickness, isn't it? Just when overnight something changes and it just completely changes your whole life.
Exactly.
So I just say as well, I am so happy and excited to have Tiffany with us. We've been Instagram friends for at least a year now and there's a lot of love there. We both do yoga and there's kind of a community on mm-hmm. Instagram and social media now for disabled people mm-hmm. and yoga and practicing and supporting each other. And so, yes, I feel very honoured that she's in the studio
Thank
with us
you.
Today.
Thank you for having me. I'm
and please do look at her on Instagram because you will learn a lot and she's just incredible.
So what would we and see on your Instagram?
Well, you know, I started it, I guess, February last year. I didn't really know anything about Instagram. I'm not really a social media kind of person before that point. And I just got on it and realized there was this huge yoga community out there with people putting up pictures of their poses and videos. And it really inspired me to do the same. I had just rediscovered my yoga practice after many years of not doing it, shying away from it. And so I just timidly got back into it and decided to take some photos and videos and put them up really to chart my own progress and hopefully inspire other people with disabilities to do the same. And it just became a life-changing experience for me, really. It was something I never expected. Like Kat said, there's this huge community of yogis and also disabled people that I've been able to be in contact with that I never would have had that resource before.
Kathleen, you're obsessed. You are obsessed with this, aren't you? Maybe you should describe what you've seen on Tiffany's Instagram.
Oh, well, it's just, for me, when I first started practicing yoga, because I didn't do yoga before I became disabled, and really started with kind of the breathing techniques as a way to feel better. It was really for kind of mental health reasons, and discovered Tiffany on Instagram. And I think for me, with her account particularly, it's the honesty. So she just post videos of her practices, and there's a brilliant hashtag that she uses, asanas that I hate, I think it is.
Asanas I suck at.
I was trying to decode that. What is asanas? What is this?
An asana is a yoga pose, essentially.
Ah.
It's the Sanskrit word for a yoga pose. So I had a hashtag, asanas I suck at, which there are quite a few asanas I suck at. So,
but what, because you're disabled?
Yes. Oh, in general too. I like to blame things on my disability, but sometimes I'm just not flexible enough. So
can I ask, Tiffany, you're paralyzed from the waist down, mm-hmm. but I was learning before you arrived, you use crutches to get around. Is that right?
Yes. Just a little background on my actual injury. When I woke up in the hospital, I was completely paralyzed waist down, but we found out it was an incomplete injury, which means I still had some connection. So over the course of a few months, up to a year or two, really, I gained some more emotion, some more feeling in my legs, to the point where I am now, which I'd say I'm about 80% paralyzed below the waist. So I have my quadriceps, my inner thighs, my hip flexors, and that's it. So I use the crutches, obviously, to walk around, to keep balanced. I ditched the chair. Once I realized I could walk without a chair for a few steps, that was it for me. I got rid of the wheelchair and just moved to the crutches. So I'm able to do a lot of the poses that, you know, I have the muscles to do it. I don't have any movement in my feet at all. So that's a bit of a challenge to work with, is having two paralyzed feet that essentially flop around. But I don't have any hamstring muscles. So there's a lot of things I'm lacking, but I also have a few muscles available to me that I'm able to work with.
And you do something interesting with your feet. You bind your feet, is that right?
Because my feet are completely paralyzed, they have really gotten deformed. I've had several surgeries to try to fix them, and it's just a constant battle for me. And before my practices, I say that it's a MacGyver thing. I don't know if you know MacGyver here. Okay. I put myself together with duct tape, essentially. So I wrap my feet and I roll socks up and put things to help my foundation, because my ankles roll out really badly, and just try to give myself a firm foundation. And I have to wear yoga socks, which have sticky grips on the bottom, things like that to help me be able to move through my practice without breaking toes or injuring myself further.
Are you in pain, Tiffany? And if so, does the yoga help with that, or does it help you feel better about that?
You know, people ask me this all the time, and I don't think I'm in pain. I don't take pain medicine. I'm not a medication type person. You know, when I walk, I guess my feet are uncomfortable. But I do have pains in my back sometimes because I have metal rods in my spine. So occasionally when I'm doing things that are back bending, I can feel it. But no, essentially I'm not in pain. And I do attribute that to my fitness levels, and having yoga, I think, probably helps that.
And how was it kind of coming back to yoga practice after becoming disabled? Was that emotionally difficult?
Extremely, extremely. It took me several years to even roll out my mat. I knew I needed to get back into it. I knew it would help me. And I knew that having my yoga practice before my injury is what helped me to recover quickly. But it was a huge emotional barrier for me to get back into it. And it took years, really, for me to just finally say, okay, I need this. And I dabbled in it a little bit and went to a few classes, which is scary, I think, for anyone. But walking in on crutches, you know, with paralyzed legs and feeling very intimidated and scared. It was a scary thing for me, and just something I had to overcome and get back into it. And I'm very happy I did, finally.
I think that is really scary, because it's an intimidating environment going to a class, mm-hmm. especially when you think that everybody is at higher level or better than you are. How did you, like, what advice would you give to people who do want to get into yoga or any kind of exercise with a disability, really?
You know, I'd say, you know what, I don't ever say know what your limitations are. I believe the opposite. You know, I think our bodies are capable of so much more than we give it credit for. And, you know, before my injury, I think I took my body for granted of what it could do. And you think, oh, my body has these limitations. I couldn't do yoga. I'm not flexible enough. You hear this a lot from anyone, from able-bodied people. And it took me to have this injury to realize how amazing our bodies are and how much they can do and overcome. So I feel there's, even if you think, especially if you're disabled and you think, okay, there's no way I could do this, there absolutely is always a way. And it's just a matter of getting in and rolling out a mat, you know. And going to a class, I think, is probably the best thing you can do. And it's scary, you know. And I've heard a lot of horror stories about people in wheelchairs trying to go to studios and they don't have accessibility for them. And it really limits what people are able to do. But I think having something even like Instagram where you can get on and see poses and try it at home. And there's loads of YouTube videos out there that you could, if you don't feel comfortable going into a studio or don't have the money to join a studio or hire a private instructor, to just try it at home. And don't, to me, don't let people tell you you can't do something, because I don't agree with that
at
all.
Have you had people tell you you can't do this?
Of course. I've heard everything. I've had a doctor once tell me I was in denial about having a spinal cord injury, which I thought was pretty funny, actually. It hurt, but then it made me fight harder, you know?
Denial. You said you set up your Instagram account to inspire other disabled people. What kind of feedback do you get from the benefits other disabled people get from yoga?
You know, a lot of the feedback I've gotten up to this point has really been curiosity. A lot of people who have said, wow, I've really wanted to try yoga. I've really wanted to get back into therapy. I've given up. And I feel a lot of people have been inspired to see someone who's representing the disabled community doing a lot of the same things that able-bodied people, what have you, are doing. And I've had so much great feedback from people who are just, they're excited. They feel encouraged and motivated, I think, to, you know, essentially try to get out of their chairs and onto a mat, or just try something, even if it's going back to physical therapy or, you know, working their bodies and not feeling complacent.
When I think of yoga, I think of beauty and serenity and all of those kind of things. You know, people moving in really, you know, beautiful fluid movements. I remember late night yoga on television when I was a kid. No, naked yoga it was. Naked yoga. When I was on TV. And they used to do it in kind of silhouette. And there was some sort of, it was something sort of beautiful to it. But disability and yoga and beauty is, I mean, it feels massively off-putting to me. Tell me it's not.
What are you saying? Disabled people can't be beautiful.
I guess I am. No, I'm not saying
no.
That.
I am not.
People with non-standard bodies, you know, you often hear disabled people talking about exercise and feeling like it's not really part of the sort of things they should be doing.
Right.
Especially on Instagram as well, because so many people that do yoga, they post these beautiful pictures on beaches, beautiful backgrounds, doing these incredible handstands. And that isn't the reality.
No, it's not. And it's not the reality for anyone. And much less the disabled, because most of my practice, I'm falling down, I'm grabbing onto things, I'm holding on to things for dear life so I don't tumble over, and I fall and I laugh and I make sure I didn't, you know, hurt anything. And I'm, you know, it's not beautiful. I mean, I think the practice itself is, I mean, when you really look at, it's more than just the poses. It's, you know, like Kathleen said, it's the breathing, the meditation, the mindfulness of being aware of your body. I think to me, that's the best thing about yoga, is gaining this awareness of your body. And without trying to sound all hippy dippy, but it's just knowing when your body's tense, for example, you know, sitting in a car on the tube and recognizing that your body is tense. And I think yoga really helps open your eyes and give you that insight. And I think having a disability, that would be, you know, an amazing thing to add to your life, is having this awareness of where your body is, what it's doing, especially when you can't feel certain areas, and trying to bring awareness to that. It's so much more than just the beautiful poses.
I know personally, when I have practiced for a long duration of time, I notice it in my balance straight away. Mm-hmm. The way that I'm walking is just so much easier, and I feel stronger in my core. Mm-hmm. Like, I think the benefits for your posture and for your health and your body are big.
And we had an article by Charlotte Walker last November about how yoga has affected her mental health. She lives with mental health problems, and I think a lot of work is being done on that. The Minded Institute are working with the government on yoga and mental health. And we've got Aroga Yoga, which does yoga for people with chronic illness. And that's about, you know, doing yoga even if you're in bed and even if you're just moving your arms a little bit. Mm. And there's therapeutic yoga for kids with disabilities, and they say that they can help with ADHD in terms of help with concentration, and even in terms of gut problems that people with autism have. Yoga, some people say, can be useful in that regard. And then I also found, because, you know, I like to look around at how all different types of disabled people do anything that we're talking about on Out. I also found blind yoga. And this is this guy in America who has created a yoga course for blind people where everything is just ultra described. And lots of blind people have been taking up that. And I thought maybe we could, Tiffany could be a blind yoga instructor for a moment. And I'm in Edinburgh, so I'm not going to do it. But I think Damon could possibly try out.
Do you know, I think that would be a really lovely idea. But I think, sadly, we're probably running out of time. much as I'd really like to.
We've told you to wear comfy clothes, Damon. That was the reason why.
And he is wearing comfy clothes.
We've only got minutes. Let's
get to it then.
I'm standing up.
Less talk, more action. Okay. Come on. You might need to back up just a little bit. Watch out for
Up because of the dog.
Yes,
the guide dog on the floor. Okay. Who's
going to
describe this?
Okay, describing. This is going to be difficult. Okay, feet together, arms by your side. Turn your palms towards me, but keep your arms straight by your sides. But bring your hands by your pockets.
Like
there you
that.
Go. And relax your shoulders.
Yeah.
Just relax them. Mm. Lift your chin up a little bit. There you go. Are you breathing?
Yes.
Take a deep breath in through your nose. Fill your lungs. Keep going. And slowly exhale. Inhale again, fill your lungs. And exhale, slowly. On the next inhale, I want you to raise your arms up as you inhale, up over your head. So inhale, lift your arms out to the sides, like you're forming a big circle with your arms. There you go. Inhale all the way up, till your hands come up to the top. And exhale, bring your arms back down by your sides. One more time, inhale, arms all the way up, out to by the sides, and press your palms together.
Oh, I'm getting confused now.
Press your palms together, there you go.
Yeah.
And bring your arms straight up.
Yeah.
There you go. And this is just Tadasana, standing pose. Now, I want you to try to balance. So in this pose, I want you to bring your right foot up to rest against the inner thigh of your left leg.
You're joking.
So you're going to bend your knee. There you go.
Blind people can't balance because I can't see the horizon.
Blind
you know?
People actually do have terrible balance.
This is a nightmare.
Okay.
I can't do it. I know it seems simple.
I would give him a balance, but this is going to be the easiest one for me to just describe.
What?
That's good. Can you do the other side now? Maybe you're better on your left leg. There you go. Look at that. Try to turn your knee out this time and press the bottom of your left foot against the inner thigh of your right leg. There you go.
I've got my shoes on.
Oh, that's it. Tree pose.
Good.
Tree pose.
Yes, he just did a tree pose, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
Fantastic.
Thank you very much.
Well done, Damon.
Thank you.
And how did that feel, Damon?
I thought it was about sitting down and crossing your legs.
You were hoping it was.
I don't know much about yoga, to be honest.
Well, there you go. That was your first.
That was the
first course.
Thank you very much. I do need to relax more.
Yes,
I think one of the most impressive things for me as well, just to take the conversation in a completely different direction, is Tiffany is incredible at yoga, but also you've been traveling a lot on your own.
Yes,
like you've traveled most of Latin America.
Yes, that was actually something for me that really fueled my recovery, was not necessarily walking again, it was traveling again. I'm a big fan of the solo travel, so it's something I really wanted to do again after my injury, and I tried a few short trips, and then in 2013 I took off in July and traveled through all of Central and South America and ended up in Brazil for the World Cup. And so it was a full year, me by myself with my crutches, carrying a 40-liter backpack, and it was amazing. It was difficult, but amazing.
Was that kind of life-changing in terms of confidence and knowing that you can do anything?
Absolutely, because you still have insecurities, especially after a disability like this, and you know, thinking, being embarrassed and ashamed almost. I don't know if you guys feel that way. A bit of embarrassment and apologizing to people for being disabled, I found I would do a lot. And after that, I wasn't apologizing anymore, you know, and I'm not ashamed of my braces and the way I walk or anything anymore, because I realized that I'm as capable, if not more, than able-bodied people. So,
wow. Yeah. Good message. Should we end on that?
Sure.
But on a positive note, there was a guy on the way into the studio, by the way, outside, standing there on this disruptive day in the UK's history, singing "Always Look on the Bright Side of Life" really, really loudly outside Starbucks. Why did I mention that?
Well, sometimes a little bit of positivity is
a bit of positivity.
What you need.
He was trying to broadcast out to the rest of the street how we should all try and be a bit more positive, I think, maybe. Thanks, Tiffany. I appreciate you coming in.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for having me. I've enjoyed it. Thank you.
Brilliant. This has been Inside Ouch. We're back next Friday with one of our long, monthly, hour-long talk shows featuring Lawrence Clark, comedian, and Harriet Dyer, too, who's also a comedian with mental health issues. If you want to contact us, we are on Facebook. You can email ouch@bbc.co.uk. And we are on Twitter @BBCOuch. Until next week, goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye. Bye.